Let's enjoy this ongoing message by Sam Adeyemi.
Right, today we're reading from 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 7. Let's go. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." Today I'll be speaking on start your business. Lord, we receive wisdom. Even beyond what I say, let this be one service where someone gets direction, someone gets inspiration in the name of Jesus Christ. Someone watching on the internet, watching on TV, gets a new idea. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, before I get into the details of how to start your business, and please remember that I'm not speaking as a financial expert. I'm speaking prophetically. I'm here to prepare someone for a new level. Amen.
Amen.
There are awesome opportunities coming ahead. But if we don't recognize them, we won't be able to take advantage of them. Well, before I get into the details of how to start the business, let me itemize again some of the benefits of being an entrepreneur. I always like to make a case for people to do business. And even if you won't do business fully, that you develop an entrepreneurial mindset. Number one, you have more flexibility in changing times. When you have an entrepreneurial mindset, you have more flexibility in changing times. I said that the last time, I'll say it again. In the Bible, you have so many instances of famine, downturn in the economy. 1 Kings 17 is an example. And God says to Elijah, "Go down to the brook Cherit. I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." It happened. But then the brook dried up. And God said to Elijah, "Move on to Zarephath." You need flexibility to be able to change like that when the season changes or circumstances change. There are too many people who fizzle out with their opportunities. They fizzle out with a particular job, fizzle out being at a particular location. When the Holy Spirit is ready to move them on, they are unable to move because they are frozen in their mindsets. When you have an entrepreneurial mindset, you see things differently. And we emphasize that quite a bit. It's a mindset. It's capacity for having perspective. Perspective that helps you to interpret things better or circumstances better. Ecclesiastes 8:1, who is like a wise man who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face to shine and the sternness of his face is changed. Life is about interpretation. You ask the big entrepreneurs, they tell you when people are dumping their shares and moving out of the stock market, they go in. Because they are able to buy the shares at low price. When people are beginning to buy again because things are going up, they are on their way out because the shares have appreciated. That's just the way it works. It's about interpretation. So the first thing is you're being able to have flexibility. I mean, the highest description of flexibility for me and being able to evolve, to change from one state to the other, is in John 12:24. Jesus, describing himself, his own life, and he's being able to translate from someone who only ministers to Jews to someone who can minister to people across various cultures, said, "Except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone, or remains the way it is. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit." That's powerful. Which means that sometimes you practically have to die. Your current state needs to die for a new you to evolve. That's flexibility. Okay, sometimes you have to deliberately kill what you built, break it down, so that it can gain flexibility again to be able to move on to another state. Or else, a new season will come and you will be only good for the last season. So, having an entrepreneurial mindset gives us flexibility in changing times. Secondly, it is riskier to be an employee than it is to be an employer. It's not a crime to be an employee. It's not wrong to be an employee. But many people say what they want is job security. And there is no security in security. I'm telling you. When things begin to go down, organizations fire people. If you're the business owner, you will be the last person to be fired. You fire yourself last. And then, see, I see something very interesting about this firing business. That they fire people at the low level. They say they want to save costs. If truly that's what they want to do, why don't they fire some of those executives first? Because all of those executives earn what 50 people earn. So why don't you just take one of them off and save us a lot of money? No, they fire 50 people and they leave the fat cats, so to speak. So I know many people can identify with that. You've been asking yourself that question, isn't it? That's oppressive, isn't it? That's not fair, isn't it? You know how to solve the problem. It's not by complaining about how unfair it is. It is for you to rise to the top. Amen. And we said, when you have an entrepreneurial mindset, even when you serve in an organization, you rise to the top faster because the people at the top have an entrepreneurial mindset. Next, benefit or reason why you should be an entrepreneur, you create jobs. And that's big. See, for wealthy people, that for them is one of the biggest definitions or descriptions of generosity. Depending on which part of the world you live in, when you employ someone, you are sustaining quite a number of people. If you live in the third world, you employ one person, the likelihood is you are sustaining 5 to 10 people, sometimes 20. They can have a roof over their head, have clothes on their back, have food on the table to eat. Some young kids can have their school fees paid. Health bills can be paid for people who could lose their lives if there was no one to help them. So you ask the entrepreneurs, the one who create the jobs, there's a fulfillment that they derive from being able to give people work to do, opportunity to express their gifts and talents and skills and feel valuable, and at the end of the day pay them so they have capacity to meet basic needs in their lives. Next, you add to the national economy. You add to the national economy. It's one thing for you to pray for the country to prosper. But the reality is that when you run a business, you pay corporate tax from your profits. You pay sales tax for everything you sell, or VAT, as it's called in some places. If you employ people, you take taxes from their salaries, you pay that to the government. Any economy that is serious about developing, that is how they are structured. So they create an environment for businesses to flourish and to prosper. You are practically contributing to the prosperity of the nation and the capacity it has to provide infrastructure, schools, hospitals, and so on for people. And then next, you create wealth faster. Because unlike employees, you spend money before you pay taxes. You create wealth for yourself faster when you're an entrepreneur. Whereas employees earn money, pay taxes, and then spend the rest, you earn money to a reasonable extent. You spend money, The organization picks your bills, and then you pay taxes on what is left. And come to think of it, you also earn a salary, but you don't have to use your salary to pay bills for the most part. So you have more fluid funds to invest towards your wealth creation objectives. Next, benefit. You work with people you love, where you love, when you love to do it. I like it. And lots of people who are working with people they don't like. It frustrates them. But they can't do anything about it. It's giving them high blood pressure, increasing the stress in their lives. When you're an entrepreneur, you choose the people you work with. And then you choose where to work. You have people working for you. You've effectively set up the systems. You get keep them working. You can choose to work from home. If you travel a lot, you work in hotels, you work at the airport, you work in the aircraft. Flexible working locations and flexible working times. Many entrepreneurs work in the night. Their staff work during the day, they work in the night. If you're an employee somewhere, the opening hours are 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. or 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can't tell your boss, I don't like working in the afternoon. I want to work in the night. They won't open the office for only you to work in the night, okay? So you have the flexibility when you're an entrepreneur. And then finally, and for me, this is important. You're a problem solver. Being an entrepreneur makes you a problem solver and gives you capacity to make a difference in the society. You are a problem solver. It's interesting how many people are unable to do business or stay in there long enough because they don't have capacity to handle rejection. It's easier, you know, to go to a job. It's a routine. They tell you what to do. You do the same thing day in and day out. No stress. The customers, they come to meet you where you are. That's fine. But when it's about you taking goods or services, going to people, prospecting, asking people, will you buy? They say, no. Will you buy? No. Will you buy? No. Will you buy? No. This is what I sell. Do you want to buy? No. Do you want to buy? No. Some people can't handle that. No, 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 no. You know what? They begin to feel like they're a pest. They begin to feel like they are irritants. They begin to feel like, look, I don't like to harass people. I'm making life difficult for people. Remember again, entrepreneurial to a large extent is about your perspective. See, you have to see yourself as a problem solver. I'm not just someone selling clothes. If I sell clothes, I'm not just someone selling clothes. If you define yourself only as someone selling clothes, that'll give you problems. If I sell clothes to you, I'm helping you to solve the problem of nakedness. I'm solving a big problem for you. I'm telling you, if you want to find out the alternative, you walk on the road naked. Not only am I covering you up, I'm affecting your image. I'm helping your presentation, your branding before the world. People are treating you with respect as a sane human being because you have clothes on. If you walked on the road naked, people will run away from you. They will think you were crazy. See, you see the kind of a problem I'm solving for you? So I'm just saying it depends on how you see it. I cook food. I'm solving the hunger problem. Not only that, I'm sustaining your life. You want to try the alternative? Don't eat. They're waiting for you. The angels, I'm telling you. See? Because you need a healthy esteem to be able to do entrepreneurship. So you are a problem solver. You're making a difference in people's lives. And the more you're able to do it, the bigger it grows. The more you are able to influence society for good. That's the point. You are influencing society, and that influence is what leadership is about. We need to bear that in mind. That's one of the big reasons for us. We have increased capacity to influence the society for good. So let's quickly run through the starting. And remember again, because it's not, we're not into the details, I'm just listing them. I'm just listing. You want to start your business? Number one, develop the ability to identify people's needs. Now, this is critical. I don't know what your definition of business is, but basically speaking, it's you offering products and services to meet people's needs. So develop the ability to recognize people's needs. Why don't many people make money? They can't see it where it is. The real money is not the paper or the coin. Real money is value. Therefore, you can't see real money with your eyes. You see it with your mind. And if you want to know how to see it, how to recognize the opportunities, one thing, run contrary to normal human nature. Normal human nature programmed by sin is selfish, self-centered. Too many people focused only on their own needs. Now, if you focus most of the time only on meeting your own needs, you know what it will turn you into? A consumer, a spender. Your relationship with money will be spending, spending, spending. I need this, I need that. I need this, I need that. You'll be buying and buying and buying. Just turn it around. What do people need? Awesome. Then another word comes into your lexicon. Selling. Selling. I'm telling you. And what other people need is much bigger than what you need. So I'm hungry. I need food. Turn it around. People are hungry. They need food. That second one will change your life faster. Listen. You want to recognize people's needs? Identify yours. Other people are exactly like you. You need food, they need food. You need clothes, they need clothes. You need toothpaste, they need toothpaste. The big question is just the focus. Is it on you or is it on them? Develop the ability to recognize people's needs. Try to appreciate the scope of the opportunities available to you. Take the number of people in your city or town and begin to check the statistics. How much does the average person spend on food in a day? We live in a state where it is said that we have 17 million people. Ask yourself, how much does the average person spend on food in a day? Multiply that by 17 million, sir. That's a lot of money. Multiply that by 30. Then you have how much money is spent on food in a month. 17 million people. The average person will put on at least 2 pieces of cloth in a day. That's 34 million pieces of cloth worn every day. 17 million pairs of shoes. 17 million toothbrushes. The toothbrushes need toothpaste. 17 million need to wash their bodies. They need to have their bath. They need to wash their clothes. 17 million need houses to live in. Those houses need furniture. They need chairs. They need beds. They need TV sets. 17 million people need phones. Wow. Let's go back to the houses. The houses need furniture. They need chairs. They need beds. The beds need mattresses. The mattresses need bed sheets. They need pillows. They need pillowcases. Big question. So which of those things that people need in your city are you selling? Identify the people who sell them. That's where your money is going. That's where the money in the city is going. So you want to do business? That's business. That's the starting point. Identify what people need. Step two, create or source products or services to meet those needs. Create or source products or services to meet those needs. Simple. Business sometimes is as simple as, oh, this is what they need here. They need shoes. I go where they sell shoes. I buy them in large quantities and at the lowest rates that I can I mark them up a little bit, I sell them where they need them. It's as simple as that. That's the fundamentals for business. And so the opportunities are huge because human needs will never end. Can someone try to give me the date, an approximate date when people will stop eating? Human needs will never end. So create or source products or services to meet those needs. Next, do market survey and experimenting. They call it market testing. Do market survey and experimenting. Go and find out exactly. You see, don't assume. See, you know how to cook beans or potatoes. Don't assume that people like potatoes. Stop thinking. Go and ask them what they like to eat. Or else you may be surprised. You will eat your beans yourself. Okay? So it's as simple as that. Go ask people, what do you want? Do you like this? Do you like this? And how do you like it? The likelihood is there's somebody else who's cooking it already. How does the person cook it? Ask the customers, are they totally satisfied? Is there anything extra they would like about the presentation? Is it how it's packed? Is it how it's presented? Do they want a little bit more of this or that? Those gaps that you observe in the market, what people would want that is not being provided at the moment. And sometimes you find out it's not even the product, it's how it is presented. This business that was there before chasing everybody is now so big you have to chase them. That's an opportunity for you. Okay? So, and I spoke about experimenting. Try it. Do a little quantity of it. Let them taste it. Okay? Try it. And there you get very useful information there. So, market survey, experimenting. You need to overcome the fear of failure. Experimenting, that's a big word. People ask me, what are the secrets of success? Sometimes I tell people, the simple secret is I try more than other people. I try. I've tried so many things that don't work. I'm still trying things. I'm still experimenting now. But some people can't handle it. They can't handle failure. The fear of failure is one of the major reasons for failure. See, success comes out of failure. Of all the things that scientists have produced that have made life easier for us, which of them worked the very first time they tried? They tell us Thomas Edison tried 10,000 times experimenting in his lab before he got the incandescent light bulb to work. The more you fail, the closer you are to success. When you're an entrepreneur, you have to have that mindset. Anyway, next, develop a plan. Now that you've got the facts, what people like, how they like it, write out a plan. The next 1 year, what are your targets? What are your objectives? And how are you going to achieve them? What will it cost? Where will you buy? Where will you sell? Who's going to buy from you? What's your competition? What's going to be the edge? Write out a plan clearly. And what's the picture you see at the end of 1 year, 3 years, 5 years? Next, find suppliers and get a location. Find suppliers, get a location. If you're supposed to source raw materials or source the products, identify where you get them from, make contact with them, and then find a good location. And these days, I should warn, some people say, I want to start a business, and the next thing for them, I must get a shop. I must rent a shop. Listen, you're not starting with business. You're starting with liabilities. A shop is not a business. The critical need for a business are customers. The shop won't give you money to take money away from you. If you don't need a shop, leave it for now. Okay? Have a mobile shop in the boot of your car. And these days, the location is the internet, a website. Okay? Or for some, it's just a phone. Let people know what the phone number. Call me when you need it. I'll bring it to you. Move on from there to register your business. Do the legal part. Talk to a lawyer. Register your business. And then next, get funding. Get funding. Get the money to start with. This is one other place where people miss it. They so calculate something that is ideal, they need 1 million. If I could just get 1 million. You don't have 1 million. Listen. How do you calculate profit? You subtract what you spent from how much you earned. If you allow what you are going to spend to go so high, how will you ever make a profit? The lower your cost is, the easier it is for you to make a profit, isn't it? So spending big money is not business. The lower the cost, the better for you. If you are going to fail, fail small. Instead of blowing five million or 1 million or 10 million, and then you get to discover, oh my God, it didn't work. We made a mistake. Start with what you have. Depending on which part of the world you are in some parts of the world, it's easy to get a loan at low interest rates. Fine, if you're very good with managing funds. But in some other parts of the world where the interest rates are high, don't go near there for a start. Okay, because when the interest rates begin to compound because you couldn't pay, and then everything compounds, the bankers don't tell you the full story when you're getting the money. I'm telling you, you have to be very smart before you can get to see exactly. And many people don't realize until something goes wrong, and then they can't sleep in the night. You know what will help you best? Your savings. Your savings. Put some money aside. Develop it as a discipline. It's even difficult for you to prosper in business without having that habit of saving. Yes, friends and relations can help you. If you have not developed sound money management principles, don't loan money from your friends or your relations. Because if you lose those relationships, you realize they were more valuable than the money in the first place. So you need to be very, very sure. But I'll tell you, saving money works magic. Sometimes, actually, you were smart. You bought some things that you're not using at the moment. You have jewelry in the house. You have a car that you don't really need. Sell it. Get some cash. Do what you want to do. When you get the money back, you buy the new model of what you sold. Don't be sentimentally attached to... Good. Listen, even if people are going to loan you money, you know what rich people do? You tell them, I need 10,000. You know what they will ask? So how much do you have out of the 10,000? And some people will say, actually, I don't have anything. You know what? I won't give you a dime. Because wisdom tells me, after working for 5 years, 10 years, you don't have a dime, what you did to your money is what you will do to mine. You will blow it. You tell me I have half of it, then I realize you will manage mine the way you manage yours. Next, get a business mentor. This is critical. If you don't do anything else, you need to do this. Get someone who's done it already and hold on to them so you can ask them questions as you go along. They will save you a lot of headache and a lot of losses. And then finally, start. Start. Yeah. I know you're dreaming of a big business. Wake up. And do the business. Or else, you'll be an amazing billionaire. In dreams. You'll be driving Jags. Jaguar. Range Rover Sport. Bentley. In dreams. Do it. Make a move. Nothing will take the place of action. But I sincerely believe that there is no set of people better prepared to be entrepreneurs than spirit-filled believers. You know why? We have the Holy Spirit to help us to see opportunities where other people see problems. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. We have capacity. Secondly, the Holy Spirit empowers us to solve problems. That's what he does. Empowers us to solve problems. Joseph was filled with the Spirit. Even Pharaoh recognized it. He was solving national problems. That's how he rose to national and international fame. So I believe God. In the name of Jesus Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Receive new visions, new dreams, see differently, Where people see crisis, see opportunities. Where they see problems, see challenges, see opportunities. I prophesy in the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, bind up the brokenhearted. The purpose of the anointing is problem solving. So I prophesy in Jesus' name, you are an anointed problem solver.
Amen.
For your city, for your nation,
Amen.
For your generation,
Amen.
You are an anointed problem solver.
Amen.
So I prophesy in Jesus' name, the next 7 days, you will see opportunities.
Amen.
Opportunities to solve problems,
Amen.
To meet needs,
Amen.
To add value
Amen.
In a new way. I prophesy for you a new level
Amen.
In your capacity to solve problems
Amen.
And in your entrepreneurial capacity
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We know that sin is the big problem. Sin is the big... How do I hear from God when my relationship with God is not okay? So I want to pray for someone who is saying, Pastor, pray with me. Pray with me that God should forgive me my sins. My relationship with God is not okay. I want God to be able to help me. I want God to help me so I can hear from God. I can see things differently. I can be a problem solver. See, mankind is battling with sin. Every human being is born a sinner. But gratefully, even that problem God solved for us, sent his son Jesus. Jesus died on the cross, put his very life down, and today all he wants us to do is to ask him to forgive us. So if you're that honest person who says, Pastor Sam, pray with me that God, the loving God who sent his son to die on the cross, will forgive me my sins. If you're that honest person saying that, please put your hand on your heart where you are. I want to say a short prayer with you. Perhaps you've been a Christian before, you've backslidden into sin. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. Can you please also put your hand on your heart? Make a decision. Make a choice. People who make up their minds usually make progress. People who don't make up their minds usually don't. Make a choice. Please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters. We know their sins are forgiven. We know that the blood of Christ has washed their sins away. So, Lord, help them to know you personally and to grow spiritually. In Jesus' name.